Oh, good morning, church. So last week we heard from Jeff about grace upon grace. And we read that incredible passage from the Gospel of John, introducing John the Baptist, but more importantly, Jesus' arrival into our world. And I'm just going to remind you of a little bit. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So today, we get to explore a little bit more about John and how, amazingly well done, thank you, how in very few words he managed to turn the question of who are you into a testimony about who Jesus is. So my challenge to you will be, can you do the same? So let's look a little bit more at John the Baptist. He had a pretty impressive start to life with an angel predicting his birth. And I do want to just read that little bit from Luke 1 to you. So then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So with such an impressive start to life and a prophecy of being great in the sight of the Lord, surely we would expect him to be a powerful leader who attracted people to hear his message because of his slick presentation and encouraging words. Yeah, no. John had no formal training in preaching, much like us. He was considered a bit different in what he wore and ate, much like us. So, well, a bit. Camel's hair and a diet of locusts and honey. He didn't really fit in with the mainstream culture of the day, much like us. And his message was contrary to the popular thinking of the day, much like us. Though he was a bit more fire and brimstone in his preaching, as if you read on a little bit, his opening line in Luke 3 verse 7 was, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" So probably not quite like us. And I guess these days, a spin doctor would probably take John to one side and kindly suggest that he might need to work on his public image. However, John was truly a transformational figure, forming the link between the Old and the New Testaments. And he spans those ages with one foot firmly planted in the Old Testament and the other one squarely placed in the New. And his ministry was so popular that people flocked to see him, hear his message of repentance and be baptized. And that meant the religious leaders of the day got worried. And they sent that contingent of priests and Levites to interrogate him. Now, it has to be said, if Bishop Philip sent a group of highly qualified and exceptionally trained archdeacons to interrogate me after my sermon today, I would be a bit terrified and immediately start trying to defend myself. But that's not what John did. John oozes confidence in who he is, what he's called to do, and what his message is about. Because he knows it's not about him. It's about Christ. And this is where I want to encourage you today. People of this world are going to look at us and notice that we are different. We stand out as being unusual. We don't follow social norms, and we often act contrary to how the world says we should behave. And people are going to ask us, who are you? So how are you going to respond? Now, this has been challenging me for quite a while now, as I've never wanted to be someone who stands out. So while I don't want to blend in, I'm quite happy to be overlooked. Anything to avoid the limelight or be put on the spot. And my revelation, my epiphany, came when writing this sermon, and sometimes I even laugh at my own stupidity, that actually it's not really all about me. And I need to take a lesson from John and just point people to Jesus instead. Easier said than done, I hear you say. And I agree. But I also want to draw your attention to a few other people in the Bible who didn't initially want to have the attention on them, yet went on to do some great things. You may remember Moses and all his excuses. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Which is Exodus 3:11. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Which is Exodus 4, verse 1. And my favourite. Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. Exodus 4:13. But the Moses of Exodus chapters 3 and 4 is the same man that later shows remarkable courage, obedience, strength of character, and is one of the heroes of the Bible. And no doubt you remember Jonah and his cowardness. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. But there was a happy ending to the story. And actually, God knows us better than we know ourselves. So he will always pick the right person, not always the most suitable person, for the job. And I did not find all of these, but I wanted to give you some great reassurance that it doesn't matter who you are, what you're like, where you've come from. There's a lot of people who went before you who were equally unqualified as we all feel. So I'm not going to read that to you, but I'm going to give you a minute or two just to scan through some of those names and their character traits. So, how did John deflect from himself and point to Jesus? And can we use the same model? Well, if you read through and follow through the passage that we listened to this morning, the first thing you'll see is that John confessed. In fact, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. I am not the Messiah. And we see here the emphasis of right identification of the Messiah. And it's actually reinforced by John's use of I am not in his response, which contrasts with Jesus' use of the I am statements later in the gospel. And you may remember those from Jeff's message last week. But they keep going. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Now, Elijah had been taken to heaven alive, and the Jewish people were expecting his return. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, which is from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. And many rabbis of the time thought that when Elijah returned, he would settle legal disputes and perform miracles and perhaps introduce the Messiah. So they were wondering, is John the Baptist Elijah? And he said, I am not. So are you a prophet? His answer was, nope. No fuss, no waffle, just precise and concise. And I love this approach to spreading the gospel. And one of my favourite quotes is from St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. So I guess by now the Pharisees were getting quite frustrated and angry. So they finally said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And yep, this is where I would have fallen down and started waffling on about myself and how I got here. But John doesn't. And as we see Jesus do so many times in his ministry, he went straight to scripture and let that do all the talking for him. Scripture proved his identity and purpose. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. But still not satisfied, the Pharisees turned from who John was to what he was doing. So why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And yet again, John sidesteps their question and turns the attention away from himself and back to Jesus. I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And if you read on a bit later, he finally actually elaborates on his ministry. And he says, this is verses kind of 29, 30 and 31. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So when John was baptizing, he was helping the people perform a symbolic act of repentance, but explains how there would be one who could actually forgive their sins, something only the Messiah, the Son of God, could do. And John's job was to point everyone to Jesus. And isn't that our job too? We all have a job to do, many different types of jobs and roles in life. And while we're here on earth, we've got many different things that we're involved in. But as we go about all our daily tasks and in all our conversations with people, are we pointing them to Christ? Do our actions show that Christ is working in us? Or, on the flip side, should we actually be thinking about what sort of God our actions are portraying? And whether we might need to pull our socks up a bit. Do we reflect Christ's mercy and grace? And do our words reveal forgiveness of sins and salvation for all? We've been hearing how the star pointed the way and led the wise men to Jesus. David Palmer last week told us about the beautiful piece of obsidian, that volcanic glass from his section that he dug up, which pointed him back to Jesus. And Jeff, in his sermon, asked you some questions last week. What circumstances point you to Jesus? What people point you to Jesus? And my question is, how will you point others to Jesus? John the Baptist's emphasis was not on who he was, but on why he had come. And that was to prepare the way for the Messiah. The Pharisees wanted to know who John was. John wanted them to know who Jesus was. We don't have to be eloquent or incredible. In fact, it actually works better when we're ordinary and a bit different. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So it's not about us. It's about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. How can you live a life that points to Jesus? So, who are you?